Are you 50 plus, stuck in the 9-to-5 world, and looking for something more fulfilling? Maybe you're already retired and are seeking a new purpose in life. Have you thought about starting your own business? Welcome to Silver Linings with your host, Karen George, here on Inspired News Radio. During each show, Karen will talk with fascinating people who have started new businesses after the age of 50. You'll hear their stories, find out what prompted them to start their businesses, and hopefully take away some nuggets of wisdom that will assist you in the search for your own silver linings. And now, the host of Silver Linings, Karen George.
Welcome, everyone. I'm Karen. I'm so glad you could join me today for this week's episode of Silver Linings. My guest is the multi-talented Scott Sullivan. Scott is an entrepreneur, a sales consultant, a radio show host, and I'm sure he wears many other hats as well. Scott, I'm glad you're here.
Karen, I can't tell you how grateful I am to you and to just even be a guest on Silver Linings today. I'm so excited. Thank you very much for having me.
Oh, that's so nice of you to say. Please start us off by telling us about yourself.
All right. Well, what's the Scott Sullivan story in 5 minutes or less? I'm a Northern California guy now. I live in Northern California, but I was born and raised in the Midwest, in Kentucky and Ohio. After I started in radio, literally while I was in college, I was in a mass communication, or a what we used to call broadcast communication degree. And so I started working in radio, terrestrial radio. Now I'm in the internet radio world. And a lot of your listeners probably know me as the host of Mind Your Own Business on Inspired News Radio, which is now my wife's radio station. She actually, we bought it together, and she runs it and is the general manager of it. And I get the privilege of doing two shows a week on Inspired News Radio, and it's a lot of fun. I never dreamt that internet radio was going to be as much fun as being terrestrial radio, but it is a blast. But I have a 30-year history of sales and marketing, so I hung out my own shingle a couple of years ago, which makes me a Silver Linings, a perfect person for Silver Linings, because I am, let's say, over 50. I am in that, what do they say, middle age? If you're going to live to be 100, I guess I'm middle aged now.
So, yeah, got to be optimistic.
Exactly. So after 50, I hung out my shingle, and I am now helping small to medium-sized companies improve their bottom line and their top line by organically helping them grow their sales through tactical marketing and sales training and coaching. So my mantra is, we like to say, we'll do it for you as an outsourced sales and marketing company. We'll do it with you. We'll do sales training and coaching, as well as help bring some deals in. We'll teach you to do it, which is the actual training and coaching piece, or we'll watch you and do it and oversee it and, you know, kind of train you as you go. All of those have a different cost cost levels to them. So it makes it nice. So no matter how big your company is or how small or where you are in your growth cycle, we can help you out. From my company is just simply called Scott Sullivan and Associates, and I do business as Sales with Sully.
Wow, you just cover all the bases there. As you were speaking, I was thinking, would you consider the ability to sell an art or skill or both?
I believe sales is a combination of art and science. I think that the art or the skill is, you know, there's an art to be able to push a piece of paper across a table to a prospect and say, there's a lot of P's in that sentence.
I like alliteration.
all that radio training, I was popping all those P's, I'm sorry. but there is definitely a skill to be able to take a piece of paper, send it across the table and say, Mr. Prospect, all you have to do is sign right here, write me a check for $500,000, and we'll get started. And then being able to sit and quietly listen and wait for that the next comment, the next, if there's an objection, or have them sign it, or, and not oversell. So there is a, there's a skill there, but there's also a science, the art and the science. The science side is you track your numbers. How many times did you call this customer? For instance, one of the things I teach my students when we're doing our sales seminars is, if you're selling into the restaurant business, then you need to understand the science of when's the best time to contact a restaurateur. It's probably not at 8 o'clock in the morning from the front door, because he's probably not open yet. Mm-hmm. It's probably 11 o'clock in the back, from the back where he's getting deliveries while they're doing lunch prep, you know, and you don't want to show up at noon when the house is packed, or at 6 o'clock when it's dinner rush, because that entrepreneur is not going to be able to talk to you then, especially if they're the executive chef and owner. So the science comes down to is knowing your client, knowing how to talk to them, the things that you need to do, how many times you call them. Do you have a CRM, a customer relationship management software? How do you track that? That's all the science part. But it comes down to is the skill is just being able to pick up that 900-pound phone, which sometimes it weighs that much, and say, "Hey, Karen, how are you doing today? This is Scott. I got something I want to sell you."
Do you think that certain personalities have an easier time selling?
You know, that's a great question. I've heard over the years, in my 30 years of experience, I've heard people say, "He's a natural born salesman," or she's just a natural. Boy, that's great. So there is something to be said about that. Now, do I believe that there are certain personality types that are suited for a typical, a certain type of sale than another? Sure. If you're in a lot of people, unless you're in the sales profession, it's hard to understand that there are many, 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 I mean, literally hundreds of different types of sales, because you could be in a consultative sale where you're part of the customer's team, and you help them as a consultant, bring them into an agreement of a product or service. Or it could be a educational sale where you're teaching them something and giving them information they weren't aware of. Or it could be a demonstration type sale, like, you know, selling a Ginsu knife where I cut through a brick and then I slice a tomato and then I tell you how great it is and how long it'll last. There are transactional sales. There are long sales cycles, short sales cycle. So do I believe there are different personality types for those different sales types? Sure, of course I do. But at the end of the day, you know, I also am not 100% in agreement with there are some of my colleagues that say, "Well, I can teach anybody to sell." Nah, I think you can teach anybody the mechanics of selling. But I use the example of, let's say, Michael Jordan, a world famous basketball player. If you took Michael Jordan and you took this person who had a natural ability already in athleticism and had a natural ability, and then give them training, he's always going to be a better basketball player than I am, who has no natural ability. So I think there's a combination there, again, of that art and science. If you have someone that has natural, God-given ability, and you give them the same training that you give somebody who has no ability, then you're going to, one of them is going to succeed higher or be more successful than the other. And I just think that's true in almost everything, whether you're a piano virtuoso or you're a salesperson.
So that kind of gets into the psychology of the whole thing.
No doubt. I mean, there's a lot of psychology in sales too. There's a lot to be said during the, you know, when you're teaching somebody, like, for instance, I used to teach a class every week. I taught, I had a client where they were doing sales door to door. And one of the things that I did is I would take brand new people that had never had any sales experience before. And after a 2-day seminar, I would turn them into door to door experts, but I can't help them overcome that fear. If you have a fear of walking up and talking to a stranger, knocking on a stranger's door and giving a sales pitch, I'm never going to be able to make you into a salesman. So that just doesn't work.
Takes me back to my childhood when I used to sell Girl Scout cookies, And there was no fear at that time in knocking on people's doors. What happened?
Well, life has changed too. I mean, I remember when I was a kid too, we used to sell, you know, high schoolers and grade schoolers. We used to go door to door and sell, you know, different things for fundraisers and like Girl Scout, you know, cookies for the girls and stuff like that. But the times are changing. I mean, we're living in gated communities. We're more cocooned than we've ever been. We went through the whole season of, you know, somebody calling us and doing telemarketing calls at dinner time, and that kind of ended. And then you get, you know, texts and emails and all the different ways we're trying to reach inside that home to sell to mom and dad and the kids. Used to be television advertising. Now it's, you know, obviously it's everything. It's internet. Everything that comes into that home, you're trying to, you know, market to them and sell to them. And, you know, it's a different world we live in. We're much more cocooned. We used to be more outside people. We would go out. We had community things. That's because we only had three TV channels when I was a kid, right? You know, we had all three of them. We had ABC, NBC, and CBS.
Well, another thing that made me think of that when I said what happened, when I was a child, there wasn't the fear. I don't know. There was something about it. Just do it. Like my eye was on the prize. I was going to get to go to a camp or something. But I don't know. I guess as you get older, there's so many other influences on your life. The self-talk and what other people say to you and so forth. A lot to do with self-esteem.
Absolutely. So when you first start off, I read a psychology and part of the learning to sell over the years, one of the things is I did read a psychology book on selling. And when we're born, we're actually only afraid of two things instinctually when we're born. You know, like there are some animal species that are born with certain fears already instinctually embedded in them. And with us, as far as human beings, if you took a baby, a brand new baby toddler, and you put him in a crib with a poisonous snake, he would know, he would not have the instinctual knowledge to be afraid. That is something that is learned over the years. So mm-hmm. When we're younger, that fear of knocking on a door isn't there. But then as we're rejected, we've experienced some pain or suffering, you know, emotionally by knocking on doors or, you know, somebody's rejected us or told us to get off their property or whatever. Those little scars build up, and then that's where we end up with then we end up being afraid or having a fear. Same as public speaking. If you stand up in front of the first group and they laugh or they mock or make fun, then it's going to give you a fear of public speaking for a long time.
Right.
Where some other people, you know, they stand up and they do it and they get this tremendous thunderous applause and a lot of love and it's a positive experience. And maybe that develops them into being public speakers for the rest of their life. But those instinctual fears aren't embedded in us as human beings. We only have a fear of falling and a fear of loud noises, supposedly, according to this psychologist, are the only two things that we are instinctually born with. So if you take the experiment that I read in the book was they took toddlers and they put them on a piece of plexiglass over the top of an edge where that you could see through the plexiglass and like put them on a table. They couldn't actually fall, but they wouldn't go out past the edge because instinctually they knew that if they walked out past the edge or they crawled out past that edge that they would fall. Even though they hadn't learned that they were still safe yet. So they would stay back from the edge. And the same with a loud noise. Loud noises were also are born into us to be fearful of instinctually for some reason. And those are the only two things. So we don't know. We start off as sort of this blank slate. And we don't know that we should be afraid or fearful of sales until we learn it through our environment.
That is so fascinating. I do want you to talk a little bit about Inspired News Radio. How did that come about? And talk about your growth.
Okay. Well, great. I love that. I love talking about the radio. So a couple of years ago, I was actually, this is how weird this is. You know, I don't believe in coincidence. You and I have talked about this a lot. I believe people are put in our path for a reason. And I do believe in a higher power, whatever you want to call it, as far as your spirituality or who, you know, your listeners, but I believe that we're guided by, or we have people put in our path for reasons. And if we can take advantage of that, it's to our betterment. So I'm sitting in the Las Vegas airport of all places, waiting on a colleague that, who was coming in on another flight. And I was sitting outside of a restaurant, and I was just, I was at one of those tables where, you know, the airport restaurants are pretty crowded. So I was sitting at one of those tables out by the edge, and I was texting my colleague saying, well, when you get through, you know, when you get off the plane, you come down this aisle and you go there. And a lady pulled the chair out behind me and bumped into me. And I said, oh, I'm sorry. I'm, you know, and I scooted my chair and we struck up a conversation, and one thing led to another. And I met her and her husband, and they owned 5 internet radio stations. And we talked about the success of them, and we talked about how they were monetizing it. And I was just completely intrigued. So we exchanged business cards with her and her husband, and we just kind of went on about our day. Excuse me. And then, I don't know, 3 or 4 months later, I got a call from her husband who said, you know, it was really nice meeting you. I've been following you on your social media. I see that you're really, really big in sales and marketing. You're doing a great job. I would actually like to peel off one of my internet radio stations and sell it. Would you be interested in being our broker? And I said, wow, I've never sold a business before, but sure, we'll talk about it. So we started talking about it a little bit, and he gave me the financials, and we kind of walked through it and looked at it and said, well, you know, this is really interesting business. I see the potential. I can see why you're being so successful in your other ones. And it was a talk radio station, and we got talking. And my wife ended up saying, why don't we just negotiate with him and take over that station? So we ended up buying it. And so we changed the name to Inspired News Radio, because it was a 24-hour talk radio station, but it was based on kind of, I don't want to say politics, but it was a little bit more political and a lot of sports and stuff like that. So we wanted it to be a positive. Our mission statement for Inspired News Radio is positive programs delivered to the world that are designed to inspire, inform, educate, and motivate. So those 5 words are really important to us. Positive, inspire, inform, educate, and motivate are the 5 words that we live by. So everything has to pass through this positive lens first. So we ended up buying the radio station, changing the name, building a new website. Actually, we started almost from scratch by the time it was all over. And then the few listeners we had, at that time, there were about 5,000 or 6,000 listeners a week on that radio station. We saved some of them, but most of them fell away. And the reason why is because we changed the format so dramatically that the people that were tuning in for the politics and the sports weren't the same people that would resonate with the positive talk radio. So then we opened up the platform to some really great hosts. We started extending it out to folks that we knew within our circle of influence and say, look, if you've got a positive message and you want a platform, then come and be part of our family at Inspired News Radio. And then we put that out every single day in a streaming 24-hour a day, 7 days a week. And then we archive the shows and put them in as a podcast. So the nice thing about it is you get the best of both worlds by being part of Inspired News Radio. And now we're anywhere between 10 and 12,000 listeners a week. We have a lot of great show hosts, just like Silver Linings, and we appreciate Karen George so much.
Thank you.
It's so great. It is so great to be to have this family, and we help cross market with each other. We do a lot of social media. And every week, every single week, we get more and more listeners. I mean, it grows like we had 900 downloads last week. So it was like,
wow.
Yeah, I know. It's crazy. I love it. Things just keep growing. And the more we put out a positive message and the more people talk about it and the more people are out there on social media, the more listeners we get. And every week, I'm still amazed at how many people send me tweets and text messages and Facebook messages that say, love what you're doing. Let's talk about this. You know, how about bringing this up on your show? I've been a professional sales guy for this number of years, and I'm having this problem. Maybe you can help me overcome it. I've had people call or send me a message and say, my boss should be on your show. He is such a great entrepreneur. And and that's how we get our guests. It's just a lot of fun. And I really, really appreciate you asking. Thank you so much for that.
Great. I just want to touch on a couple of minutes here on what challenges, we talked about this before a couple of days ago, what challenge people in our age group face as entrepreneurs today. How is it different with all the technological advances for folks our age?
Well, you know, you and I talked about this, and I agree with this so much with what you were talking about, and you've already mentioned it in this show already, and that's a lot of it is this self-talk that we do to ourselves. We start sabotaging ourselves. You know, I'm just pulling this out of thin air, but let's say you've been working at a job, trading your time for money, whether you're an assembly line worker or if you're working at Home Depot or you're a white collar office worker, it doesn't matter. And let's say you've been doing that for a lot of years. It's hard to look in that mirror and see yourself as an entrepreneur, especially if being an entrepreneur has risk. There is risk associated with it. You have to know. And again, this is going to sound a little bit of a chauvinistic comment, but men sometimes even have it worse, because if you're the sole breadwinner, but if your household is dependent on your income, whether you're male or female, and you're the primary breadwinner, that even adds more risk, because now you come into your spouse and you say, hey, by the way, I'm going to risk our livelihood, and I'm gonna grab a hold of this dream that I've always had, and I'm gonna go open an ice cream shop, right? I'm gonna be an entrepreneur. Yeah. Well, so then there's that, because then I think also in our lives, so I think there's a pro and a con to this, right? So I think the pro is that if you get to our age and you had started early enough, my wife and I started very early. Your kids are grown. Your lifestyle has changed. You are in a more sound financial position to then take on some of that risk. So that's a pro. The con is you may still be raising kids. You may have teenagers at home, or you may have just going into college age, and all of a sudden that financial isn't there. You don't have that financial, you know, that nest egg built up that you could use as a risk. So now all of a sudden there's additional risk on top of that. So I think there's a lot of that self-talk is, I'm not going to risk my kids' college education to go live my dream. I've already been 30 years a white collar guy going to, you know, driving to the office every day and, you know, doing my job and trading my time for money. I'm not going to jump into being an entrepreneur. Or the other side of that is you could also, you know, you may have the personality where you can't just do it part-time. You know, you can't be that 2 hours a day entrepreneur. You get home from work, you're exhausted, and you're in that routine of, I sit down, I have dinner, I watch my favorite TV show, and I go to bed, and I get up tomorrow and do it all over again. So there's routine, there's self-talk, there's all of those things I think are challenges for the over 50 crowd to jump into being an entrepreneur. But like I said, the pro could be is if you wait just to the point when you're starting to find that financial freedom, that may help relieve some of the risk.
There's so much more we could talk about. We're almost out of time. I have a short show. Yours is much longer. But I did want to ask you to quickly tell us where people can learn more about you and your businesses.
Well, thank you so much for that. Of course, you can always reach me at inspirednewsradio.com. You can go to that website. You can look at my shows that I'm on there as a show host, right next to Silver Linings. And you can click on any of my shows and download them. Or you can find me on Facebook, on Twitter. I'm at Sales with Sully. If you just put in the at sign, Sales with Sully, all spelled out, you can find me just about everywhere. I am ubiquitous on LinkedIn. I am a big LinkedIn guy. So if you type in Scott Sullivan on LinkedIn and I don't pop up in the top one or two, then there's something really wrong. You can always find me there. But my personal website, if for whatever reason you just want to go there, it's just scottsullivan.biz. Scott Sullivan, just my name, .biz, or scottsullivan.biz. Any of those websites you can go to, you can leave me a direct message on any of my social media platforms. I'm very, very easy to find on all of those platforms and all of those websites. I am just thrilled to be part of the Silver Linings family. Thank you so much for this time today, Karen George. You are the best.
Oh, thank you so much, Scott. You made my day.
You've been listening to Silver Linings on InspiredNewsRadio.com with your host, Karen George. Tune in regularly to hear more stories from people who have started businesses after age 50. Remember, it's never too late to find your silver linings.